verse 47. So really, really different kind of message tonight. It's going to get into your cerebral cortex. I've been practicing on that one. John chapter 11, verse 46. Can we, as a church family, real quick, before we get started, can I take care of some business? I want to take care of some business real quick. Sometimes I don't realize that there's hundreds or, 40s, 50s, 60s, and hundreds of you sometimes. And I know I make decisions or something will happen, and I forget that there's a group of you kind of go, what's going on? So I'm going to answer a couple of questions that you might have, and you might not have them, but I'm going to give them to you. This is me trying to be transparent. In this morning's bulletin, there was a new Penny Drill Sunday. What we're doing is that David Turner had given us on access to his support, a bank that supports what he does, right? That was an add-on. What I've seen going forward is our kids and that penny drill can be used to raise money for our building for the next couple years, and that would be a really neat thing to have them involved in that. We're just reappropriating that money, which is an add-on. It's not a thing going over a period of time. We didn't agree that that's part of the, support. The support remains there. What we're going to do is we're going to do that for a couple of years until we get into the building. Hopefully we'll be in before that, but it can pay for some things. All right? After that, it will be used for youth ministry, work. Not fun, not popcorn, not ice cream, not going to the movies, work. Okay? Does that make sense? And I just want to give that to you. Please don't think that we're trying to make big decisions and turn you this way or that way. We're not. We're just trying to make decisions that identify with our church and where we're going in the future, okay? And we'd never make a big support change to any of our missionaries before we brought it to the council and into the church, okay? The second one, before I get into the preaching and is my vehicle. Melissa, we have the white Toyota that the church gave us. We still have that vehicle. Melissa's car is not doing so great, so she's driving it while I bought this GMC, which is used. Peyton's about to turn 16, so we had to have an extra car there. The white car will be used for mission or ministry work, going into Chattanooga, going into places like that, after I get this car, kind of some bugs worked out of it. So it'll be a short back and forth to the house type thing, and the Toyota's still going to be used for church vehicles. So hopefully that clears some things up for some people if they had any questions whatsoever. If you didn't, praise God. We'll move on. At least you know, all right? Know that you know that you know, all right? So, all right, John chapter 11. Verse 4-7. Is that what I said? And we're going to work on our cerebral gore. I want y'all to think a little bit. Some of y'all are going to know right away where we're at. Some of you are going to, it might take a little bit. John chapter 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priest. Is that what y'all are seeing? Then gathered the chief priest. Okay, this is a religious elite. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is the ruling religious elite that are looking at Jesus and Jesus' ministry. Right? And the title of this message is, A Miracle Doesn't Always Work Out. A miracle doesn't always work out. Okay? Phew. And you think, man, that might be doctrinal, you're not sound. It doesn't work out the way we always think it's going to for everybody. Amen? Look at this. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What did we do? For this man doeth many miracles. What are we going to do with Jesus? Ain't that amazing? What are we going to do with this Jesus who's working all these miracles, doing all these great things? We need to do something about him. Ain't that amazing? Guys, I hope you know where we're at in the Bible. I didn't want to give it away right away, but do you know where we're at? Do you know what's just took place? Lazarus, a dead man who had been in the ground for 4 days. Praise God. He comes back to life. And the religious people of that time, people who said they're representing God, said, oh, now we're going to have a meeting to figure out what we're going to do with this guy. Miracles don't always have the effect that you think they're going to have. The greatest miracle that ever happens is when somebody goes from lost to saved. When you go from unbeliever to believer and you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, it doesn't always work out with everybody the way you think it's going to. Man, we ring the bell, we shout the glory, we tell the story, right? Right? We ring that bell, we shout the glory in here, and we go out and we tell the story. But guess what? There's lives to be led outside of that, and everybody's not happy. Every father, every mother, every grandparent, every friend, everybody is not happy and excited about somebody getting saved. It can bring a lot of great trouble. Man, think about that. Man, could you imagine if somebody who had been in the grave for 4 days and been pulled from the dead, you would think, man, this is it. No brainer. It's over. The argument's done. you got to believe in who he is. Nope. Some people just get together and say, now what are we going to do? So don't be surprised. You might want to take a note right here. Don't be surprised when you do great things in the name of Jesus Christ, when you do great things, the things you've been called to do, and it doesn't work out. Seems like more things come against you than go for you. Amen? Does that make sense? Golly, I hope y'all get, I love that stuff. Verse 48, this is good. Look at it with me. Look real close. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Do you see that? If we leave him alone, everybody's going to start believing. Man, if we keep letting them do Jesus, everybody's going to be converted. Everybody's going to change. They were scared to death about Jesus. Now listen, if Jesus was running around doing a bunch of crazy stuff, taking widows' money, doing crazy weird things, but blind were being given their sight, the deaf were hearing, the lame were walking, devils being cast out. I mean, big problems being solved. And every time a big problem got solved, they would say something like, why are you doing that on the Sabbath? Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Why'd you allow Jesus to do that to you on the Sabbath? Listen, I showed up blind. I showed up lame. I showed up deaf. And the one who took that away told me to carry my bed. Told me to carry and walk during this time. Told me he wanted to heal me that day. Praise God, it was a good thing, not a bad thing. All right? But these guys, if this keeps on, listen, you might think I'm crazy for teaching and preaching this, but you know what? Everybody ain't happy when your church is busting at the seams. Everybody ain't happy when everything's going, man, church full, people in the altar, kids getting saved. Pray, we're gonna baptize like 7 or 8 people next week. And you're going to say, but man, it gets out there. Hey, they're a bunch of hypocrites up there. They just doing everything. They let anybody in up there. They let anybody do anything up there. They're not really a real church. You don't be surprised when your ministry is discouraged. Because if it happened to Jesus, it'll happen to you. If Jesus can raise a man from the dead, don't be surprised if people are having meetings talking about how crazy and how bad it'll be if you continue on. God, I can just see them, can't you? We got to do something about this. If we just let him alone, he's going to change everybody. And the Romans, look, verse 48 on the backside. I want y'all to get this. This is so cool. Watch. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. What are they worried about? Our place and our nation. Our place meaning our power, our title, our position. Our nation mean they were slaves to the Roman Empire. God never created them to be slaves to the Roman Empire. But they had got, golly, I wish y'all get this. They got comfortable in being slaves. God, no, they got comfortable on leading people who were slaves. They got comfortable in a place that the government had them under the thumb, and then they had the people under their thumb, and they could have all the power and all, and man, nothing ever changed. Do you know there's plenty of people that are religious, but nothing ever changes? Plenty of people that are religious, go to church, but nothing ever changes because they don't want Jesus to really work in their churches or in their ministries, because when he does, he doesn't leave you in control. I don't want to be in control. I want him to be in control. Him to be in control of the ministry and him in control of me. And if he says sit down, I'll sit down. If he says sing, I'll sing. If he says shout, I'll shout. If he says preach, I'll preach. If he just says sit there and hey, be who you are. All right, I'm good. Be quiet. Sit down. Amen? It's about him. And they were thinking, man, our position. We need to have our position, our place. And our man, we're comfortable right here. Let me tell you this. Jesus will wreck your comfort zone. He wrecks comfort zones. He's good at it. Whether you believe in him or whether you don't believe in him, guess what? He still wrecks comfort zones. And the more you want to hurt him, the more you want to do away with him, the more you want to reject him, the more you want to kill him, the better he gets. God works better through persecution than he does prosperity. Period. That's the whole Bible. Today we get prosperity preaching. Man, I love a good blessing, but let me tell you something. God doesn't work half as good, not even a quarter of a good, as he does through persecution. Because when you're persecuted and you're put down and you're rejected and you still love Jesus, people notice. But listen, if you're always looking for that sugar rush high of God's blessing me, so that means God's in my life, I'm being honest with you, you're in a bad place. If you think, well, God's blessed me and give me this. Look, God, he does, and he did. But don't think if he cuts off the blessings because he wants to show somebody who can go through some stuff with Jesus and not lose their testimony, don't be surprised if that happens to you, because he needed somebody to see, yeah, you do good with blessings. Paul says this way, I have learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased. Okay, I'll break it down in regular terms. I've learned how to be prosperous, and I've learned how to have absolutely nothing and everywhere and in between. God's the same on each spectrum. And matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, in 2020, most people need to see God when you're being abased way more than they need to see it when you're being blessed. They do. I know it takes, and listen, don't believe me as I get up here, because you think, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher, you never have any issues. One, that's not true. But it is easy for me to preach it because God told me to preach it, but it's hard to live out. Amen? It's hard when you're going through, when it seems like everything's going against you, it's hard to look around and going, man, God is really trying to use me in this. Man, it's really hard to do that. But he is. That coworker, that person you've been asking to come to church and talking to them about Jesus, or that family member that's right on the edge and they're going back and forth. And when, you know, when something don't happen, they listen, they watch, they pay attention. Oh, listen, you're getting some of the stuff I get. Now, what's going to happen here? You can call what is. Man, I didn't need that flat tire this week. That stinks. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's got a purpose in everything, and I'm going to figure out what it is. Amen? Maybe since this is happening, God wants me to go and talk to the person who works on tires. Amen? I'm being honest with you. I guess I'm going to have to stand in there at the shop and look around and see somebody, and I'm going to have to, hey, why are you here? This happened to me a couple weeks ago, not just about the flat tire thing, but we were both stuck in the lobby for 2.5 hours. And I'm sitting there like, man, my eyes are rolling in my head. I'm thinking, golly, they tell you, when I went in, they said it's going to be 20 minutes. Another guy across the room, they told him it was going to be an hour. He was there longer than I was. He went on a 45-second cussing tirade with whoever was on the other line. I was like, "Woo! Oh, I can't be. I can't. I wish I could be as." So I was thinking, man, I wish I could say some of that. No, come on, don't be mad at me. I was just sitting there thinking the same thing, man. They told me an hour, but he was just using some more colorful language than I would choose. But he was actually telling some truth. And I was sitting there thinking, man, that guy or person on the other line is, man, he's getting it, right? And he looked at me and he goes, "What do you think?" And I went, "I don't know." You know, I wanted to throw the whole preacher on him right then, you know what I mean? We can get saved right here and you can get baptized in that oil out there in the back. But I held it for a little bit, and I was a little frustrated, aggravated too. I ain't gonna be lying to you. And they come out and said, "Oh, guess what happened? We've messed this thing whole up. It's gonna take us about another 45 minutes." And I was thinking, praise Jesus. I was thinking, all right, Lord, you know I'm here, so I might as well get some Bible reading in and work on some other stuff while I'm here. I'm in this cool lobby, and I'm going to drink as much coffee as they got. Me and another guy, we got together, and we filled up the filter and done the whole nine. So they're going to eat us, and we're going to get them in the coffee, all right? But at the very end of it, me and that man were both standing outside that place side by side, and our cars were getting pulled up at the same time. And the guy handed my keys, and he goes, "Man, I'm so sorry. It's never been this bad here." And I said, "Man, I can't be mad at you. You helped work on my patience today. I'm learning to be a better Christian today." And the guy, he looked over there, and the guy standing right next to him went on the tirade, looked at him and said, "Did I hear you just say that right?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I tell you, I could be in a lot worse places than a waiting room down at the tire store. I said, I could be in the hospital, or I could be somewhere else. You know what? God's good. He's good. And I hope you have a blessed day." You know what he goes? "Well, I hope you have a good day too." Right? I didn't give him a 25-minute sermon. I didn't tell him. I just said, you know what? It's time. Sometimes you got to look at the situation and say, man, somebody needs to see something about you that's different than what's going on in the world. Because you know what? It did work on my patience. And I needed it. Amen? Sometimes we need to slow down. Amen? We need to slow down. If we let's go back and read 48, and then we'll move to 49. It's pretty neat stuff. "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." Verse 49. This thing changes. Watch 49. It's really neat. And it answers a lot of questions for me, and maybe it'll answer a lot of questions for you on how God uses certain people. Why does God use some people that you think, instead of using them, he should take them off the playing field? Caiaphas he's the high priest of the time, okay? Watch this. "And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'You know nothing at all.'" Man, now look, he wants to crucify Christ. He wants to do away with Christ. We understand by the scriptures, he eventually takes Jesus up before Pontius Pilate and gives and says, "Hey, let this man's blood be on us and our children." He's not a good guy. But he is holding an office that is ordained by God. Woo! This gets into some thick stuff, don't it? Sometimes God, look, you need to write this down. Sometimes God honors the office over the person. That's how sometimes you can hear somebody say something and go, "Man, why is God using them? Why is God speaking through that person which has done something that's not right?" Because the gift doesn't determine what's going to come through the person's actions. Whew, man, I wouldn't advise you to be sitting under them all the time as a pastor or sitting under them all the time. But you know what? If God can use Caiaphas, who was going to kill Jesus, he can use some people and make you scratch your head. Amen? Is that all right? Think about it. Watch. I'll show you. You don't believe me. What's this? "You know nothing at all." Verse 5. "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest, that year he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. Verse 51 reminds me is God really is more important than I am or anybody is. Golly, y'all need to write this down. If God can use a donkey, and if he can use Caiaphas, he can use you. Amen? He can use anybody. He can use somebody that's not doing everything right. Man, I noticed, he said he didn't spake this because he's some great man. He spake this because God honored the office that he was holding. Man, ain't that good? It says God jumped on him real quick and said, despite of who you are, I will use you to speak truth in this situation absolutely against who you are. Woo! I don't know if that helps you, but I am a Bible geek. I'm a nerd in this sometimes. And I really love to find out some stuff. Because I hear people say stuff, and man, it's like, wow, that's pretty good. And come to find out, they do a lot of weird, wicked stuff. Okay, I'll just spell it out for you. There are some TV evangelists. They will say certain things, and you're like, man, that's powerful. God honors the office more than the person. Amen? Are you getting it now? Does it make sense? And then you find out, maybe you sat under somebody and you heard them preach and they done great and they spoke in your life and it changed things about your life. And then you find out something about them later on. You're like, man, what's the deal with that? God did not call perfect people, but God is perfect in his work. Whew. Okay, when I referenced that donkey thing, do y'all know who I was talking about? I was talking about Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, but the enemy hired Balaam to go preach against God's people. Amen? And he was riding on a donkey. You get the whole thing. This is way before Shrek. Sorry. The donkey spoke. I love that part of the... He's about to kill his donkey, and his donkey said, I'm saving your life. And he never goes, man, I got a talking donkey. He has a conversation with the donkey. But what I'm getting at is Balaam was on his way to curse God's people. Later on, we find out that the words that were coming out of his mouth were not even the words that he intended to speak. God had got in his voice box. My, I wish I could get this. Every place, every angle, every little... They kept taking him from one place to another because they thought if we can get him in another spot, he can see him and then he can curse him from here. So, why? God, I wish I could preach this whole thing. As God's people are moving, they're moving in the formation of a cross. And Balaam would get up in a spot where he could look over and he was looking down on the cross and he would go, instead of curse, he was, I bless them. They're blessed and highly favored. Nobody can stand against them. Everybody's going to bow down. This is God's people. And the guy said, going, I paid you to curse them, not bless them. And he did this 2 to 3 different times. He goes, all right, let's try one more time. You know what I'm saying to you? Sometimes you're sitting there going, man, how can these imperfect people speak powerful things? Because God's cool like that. God's cool like that. Can we go a little bit deeper than that? I wish I could be real with y'all. Can we scratch just a little bit deeper on that? Aren't you glad that you ain't got to be perfect to be used by God? There have been times in ministry where I said, man, I ain't qualified. I'm not talking about crazy off-the-wall stuff. I'm just talking about bad attitude, bad outlook. Huh? Not thinking about other people, thinking about myself, selfish, self-centered thoughts. And God speak through you anyway. And God encourage somebody else anyway. God help you rescue somebody else anyway. God let you give anyway. God, man, you're sitting there going, and everybody, man, you blessed me. That was a blessing, brother. That's a blessing, sister. Praise God. God's using you in a mighty way. And you're riding home going, golly. Man, that helps me more than sometimes when I'm doing everything all right. Amen? Because God ain't forgot about me. Amen? He ain't forgot about you either. whoo, man, we could stop right there and have a good time right there, I thought. Amen? I love this kind of stuff. And you said, man, I would love to come in here and preach you something that I run up and down and shout and pray. Man, I'd rather, man, sometimes you got to think. Sometimes you got to get a little bit deeper. And you sit there and go, because, man, I've watched some people, and I'm like, man, they're blessing my socks off. And you turn around and say, man, they are literally out of control. I heard a man, I got a man's tapes for several years, one tape after another tape. And every time I put them in, I mean, he was speaking right to me. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. He was having an affair with six different people in his church. And I'm like, golly bum. Why was that helping me so much? And he didn't, because the gift remained. Amen. It wasn't about the person. It's about God. And he knew what I needed. Oh, never mind. I wish y'all get, ain't that cool though? How God works through imperfect people. We're always looking and saying, man, I wouldn't use them because, man, God, if he had to pick perfection, he would have a long time finding it. Amen, brother. And if you're sitting here thinking, man, Kevin's just saying you can live any other way, and God's wrong. If you're a man of God, woman of God, and you're trying to serve God, he might use you to help somebody, but he will get the correction from the sin. while he used you to work on them, he will use himself to work on you. Amen, preacher. Let's go a little further. Verse, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Do you say, he spoke big right there. He's going to bring the whole world together. He is. Amen? Not only is he going to bring the Jewish nation that's scattered, he's going to bring the Gentile nation. And man, this was a big prophecy. He needs to die for the whole world to be saved. Correct. Let's kill him. What a wild meeting. Amen? What a wild meeting. They just realized that this is God. And they missed it. Did they not miss it? I think I missed this point. Let's go back. Let's drive back a little bit and go get this real quick thought. They had a meeting about their position and their nation. Right after a man called another man out of the grave after he'd been dead for 4 years. What do you think's wrong with that? I'd have been like, wait a minute. I want to roll with the guy who speaks life into death. I don't care what the Roman Empire's doing. Because right past this life is eternity. And that guy right there just, oh, I wish y'all get this. He just spoke from time into eternity and brought somebody back. Man, that's when I'd have been rolling up my little old papers or buttons or whatever. However I belong with you guys, it ain't really, we're having a dumb meeting. Because y'all worried about your titles, and that man right there just spoke life into a dead place. Man, think about that. Think about that. Man, we worry about some of the weirdest stuff. And man, I want to get on page with a guy who can speak to a man who's laying in the ground. Y'all have heard me preach this. I get tired of preaching it sometimes. Man, I think Lazarus is the maddest man on the face of the planet. Matter of fact, I know he is. Hopped out into that. That's what it said. Handkerchief tied. He was bound up. And his handkerchief on his face. Couldn't say a whole lot. Just hopped right out of the grave. I know he's looking right at them two sisters of his. Right? What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? I don't want to. Man, if you would have known I had it whooped. Call me back. I love it. I mean, I love that story. But praise God, that's who I'd want to have been working with. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to do what Jesus is doing. He's the only one he is the only one who has answers of eternal life. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. We're worried about control. Stop worrying about the control. Some of y'all need to write that down and make it a point in your life that you're going to let God and let go of the control. I got to control everything. I got to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why don't you just say, man, Jesus, can you handle anything without my supervision? I can feel that. That's the Spirit of God. Oh, if you don't be mad at me, talk to God about it. We must put him to death now. Verse 54, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Man, I wished I'd have lived in Ephraim by that time. You know you can run Jesus off. And you might run him out of your building. You might run him out of your life. You might run him out of there. But you know what? He'll go somewhere. He'll go somewhere where they want him. Amen? I don't know what church of Ephraim was done, but they're like, come on in. Amen? We'll do church with you. We'll do ministry with you. All the Jews and all the people, they had the biggest temple. They had the biggest place, but they didn't have no Jesus. Have all the devils and all the sick and all the lame and all the broken and all the unsaved. But they're in control. Man, right there. Woo! We're in control, but we got all of our issues still. I don't want to be in control of the issues. I want the one who can come in the room and solve the issues real quick in a hurry. Amen? You think you can get away? You send him, he'll go. The Bible says this in Revelation. It's to the church. It ain't to an individual. It says, I stand outside the door and I knock. God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman to salvation. He's a gentleman in your church. He's not going to come in and run things unless you want him to. Hey, can I work here? No, we want to kill you. All right, since you want to kill me, I'll go down to Ephraim and we'll just rock their world. That'll rock. Man, I want that. I want Jesus. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care if they say, man, that's a crazy church. You don't move, they're doing everything. Yeah, but guess what? I hope at the end of it, they'd have to say this. Boom, you can feel the Spirit in that place. I had a man come up to me right after his church. I seen him sit right back there this morning. I seen him. I told Scott when he's walking this way, I said, he's going to come up here and he's going to say, man, this blew me away. He walked up to me and he goes, I sing in gospel choir. I go everywhere and sing. He goes, man, and I thought, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to go to this little old church on the mountain. And guess what? I come up here and, man, that blew me away. He said, y'all got something in here. He said, I live an hour or something away. And, man, I'm in love with this place. God's in here. I just sit here and smiled. You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody if you got it. Man, how you got him up on a mountain? You can have him anywhere if you welcome him. If you say, come on in, we need you. But if you say, hey, stay out, we can run the show. We just need to put your name on the door. And I don't want his name on the door. I want him in here. Amen? Look at this. And then the Jews Passover, verse 55. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, and they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Verse 56, you know what? The people suffered for the leadership's decision to get rid of Jesus. The people were standing around going, man, where's Jesus? You think he's going to be here? Think he's going to show up? Do you think he's going to show up to the Passover feast this year? You know what Passover feast was, right? Passover feast was when God took the people of Egypt, the Christian Jewish people, out of bondage of Israel. It was a type and shadow of when Jesus Christ was going to take the people that were bound to sin, out of their sin debt, right? Through the blood, right? Okay. They're coming up on the most holy day they have, and they were wondering, I wonder if it's Jesus going to show up. People standing around, you know what, I hope that never happens here, that we're standing around going, man, I wonder if Jesus is ever going to come back. Man, I want a bunch of people who lean into Jesus. He needs to come. He's welcome here. We want him here. We need him here. As long as I'm pastoring here, I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I'm asking? I turn into Jesus. I don't turn out. Amen? If Jesus is in something, I'll say, sing it again. If Jesus sends something, I'll say it again. Turn all the way into that. I have been in so many services with so many people where God shows up and they move on to the next thing. And I said, oh, hey, he was right back there. Turn the car around. We got to get back to that. And they just keep on driving. Man, we had a good time with him about 15 minutes ago. And he was sitting there like, I was wanting to spend like 2.5 hours with you. That might have been the reason we drove on by. Huh? That might have been the reason we just kept on driving. Amen? Let me get this last verse. Watch this, verse 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment. Listen to this commandment. That if any man knew where he was, where he were, he should show it, that he might, that they might take him. Kind of opposite world, ain't it? If you know where Jesus is, you better tell us, because we want to apprehend him. It's kind of opposite world where I come from. You better tell me if you got him, because I want him to apprehend me. I want him to come in here and arrest all the souls he can get. I want to know if you know where he's at, because I want him come in here where he can take us. Amen? Ain't that amazing? That the people that Jesus came to save, seek, and to save the most wanted to get rid of him more than they wanted to accept him. Lord, help us. If we ever get to a place as a church that we're worried about more of our control and more of our power than we are the power of God, we want to be in a place where we say, Jesus, we want you and we want you alone. And everything you get from Jesus, then everything springs off of that, and it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing. But right after one of the greatest, probably the greatest miracle in the New Testament, they had a gross meeting of power. How do we stop this? I hope we never have meetings in this church where we say, I hope. How do we stop Jesus from working so big in our church? Here's the meeting. We want Jesus to work big in every area of this church. Let's all stand.